So before we move on, I wanna do one last thing instead of the popcorn. But I'm gonna make it slightly like camp, because that's where I feel really comfortable. And I won't make you get up and move around, but I'll be moving for you. So we've kind of shared with each other the concerns that we have. So now I'd like us to share with each other the gifts that we bring. And maybe just list one gift that you bring. And it can be anything. Like, I am really good at repelling. I really enjoy repelling. Now, is that really relatable to this gathering here? No, I don't think that I'll be repelling it on a mountainside, but it's a gift I bring. So I'm just, as an example of it, could be anything. But something that you can bring to this community. Because what it is that we're doing here basically is a metaphor for what we want to see around us. So the responsibility that we have to each other, getting to know each other, it's the premise that who we are here will change the culture, at least for this moment, at least in this room, and will have a ripple effect that is globally significant. And that's also where I think maybe an element of faith comes in too, because often we never see the fruition of the seeds we sow. We have to have faith that they do blossom somewhere, and so we sow them nonetheless. So if somebody would like to begin with Dietmar, if you'd like to begin with a gift that you have, and I'll give you the end of this string here, a gift that you bring to this community.
I can raise very good peas when there's appropriate moisture, as there was last summer in Alberta. We can't keep up harvest. Couldn't keep up with the harvest of them.
Somebody else.
I'll go.
Yeah.
I have a really strong value in sourcing out ways to repurpose, recycle, reuse. And so I'm constantly looking for and accessing those things here locally. And I encourage others to do that.
I can bring people
together. Yes, you can. I can find the small things that need to be done to do them.
Unwind a little bit. I understand children. I love to help them be at peace.
I can reach people who cannot read. I learn that can real life and even some of their own stories.
Maybe my eyes.
So I'm pretty good at going on
I can bring the gifts of organizing and planning.
observant.
That's right.
Very good.
For stories, so hearing how our stories link us to each other in exciting or challenging ways.
Over there. Forthright. Analytical and forthright. Ryan and Rolly.
Well, I might be a voice of second thought.
Should go to the Senate.
I do notice that there's one missing. And one of the 12, a very, very important one.
She brings joy to everybody.
Exactly. Yeah. And thank you so much. I'm so glad that she's been with us.
Oh, this is interesting.
Can you repeat that?
She said that she was able to sell things from the third world, so from the world of developing countries, from trade rates, things to people that they didn't know they needed. And they were all really happy. They're shops now, and they source from the same company that she drew from in the 80s. quiet here. There are so many things in our stories that will parallel, and I think most importantly is that we're all bringing something very important. And so if I think of how many gifts these strings represent, and I think of the kinds of problems that we seek to solve, there's not much doubt in my mind that there is definitely hope. So in the face of global injustice and climate change and global inequity and so on and so on and so on, we have in our power the ability to gather in small groups and get to know each other and get to know our places. And the premise is that in order to care for all creation, we need to care for our community here. And our community in the fullest sense of the word community, being first a community that's based on its land, and then a community with all creatures, human beings being some of those creatures. And so I'm going to welcome Dietmar here pretty soon to come in and speak about how we can move from a place of being motivated by fear place of being motivated by love. And we can probably just sit.
I can hold that.
Yeah,
in.
Can you hold this and I'll get a... And we do...
Yeah, exactly, in the right order.
This is my precious hemp rope. And I do need it smart.
She smokes it in her spare time.
Yeah, I'm from Vancouver, but I'm not that Vancouver. Mm-hmm. I'll get a camera here. Let's see. That's a great idea.
Levitate.
Oh, it actually, it really does come through. Okay, so people over there, you can smile. Great. And you guys over here. Great. Okay. Maybe we'll I'll have somebody start to wind it, if that's okay. Yeah. Great.
Got a full-time job now.
So the last thing I'm going to say for most of the evening, thanks for being so attentive. One of the reasons I really thought that this was important to do this kind of gathering together was that were some images, I suppose, that I started to see, and this happened really while I was living in Peru. So actually, kind of in July, these images started to come to me, and I suppose what it was is that I was seeing, as I looked ahead, I was starting to see two different futures play out. And so the first future that I saw, as I sort of actually started to dare to dream about my life in years from now, I saw a future that was motivated by fear. And so what had happened was that some of our crises, for example, some of the most dire effects of climate change had been mitigated. There was some economic equality that was starting to happen, to shake down. But it was a very cold place, though. And for some reason, there wasn't much that felt different about it.
some of those crises have been averted in some ways, but suffering was still a part, but maybe a little bit more unspoken about. And I guess the reason that I started to think about this future was because I had begun to hear among some of the very groups and the very individuals that strive for ecological justice, for justice of any kind, for social justice, for equality, for all of these beautiful visions, I started to hear among those very groups war language, or language that alienated, language that that although perhaps subconsciously done, pitted one group or one lifestyle or one story against another story. And not to demean the struggle and the suffering of so many, I cannot imagine, but I worried though that it was a motivation that was coming only from a place of fear. So to sort of unpack that a bit, it was almost like using a scare tactic to inspire action. And the reason that worried me was that because I was unconvinced that fear, although it's a very productive source, it's a very productive motivation. And really, I think fear is the motivation for the survival of the fittest. So it's productive and efficient, that source. But I'm unconvinced that it will actually bring about a kinder future. So I did then a bit of thinking of, okay, well, what's the alternate source that's actually sustainable? And so I started to think about what this other future would look like. And it was kinder because it was motivated from a place of love. And it was... unlike fear, it was actually quite a sustainable source. And the reason it was sustainable was because it was a place of love for land. And land was sustainable because it was a place that always, it never held a grudge. It always said, here, you can come right back here and rest here and be rejuvenated and be at peace and find yourself in me and go out and care for those around you and for that around you again. And so it all turns on affection. And so I'm going to pass it off to Dietmar now, as we continue to wind this, to talk to us about how we can go from a place of fear and our motivation to a place of love, coming to know our land and each other. So
I'm wondering whether we need a stretch kind of it. So why don't you take a minute to whatever you need to do to limber up.
Rejuvenate with the brownies and apples.
Yeah, brownies and apples are there. Yeah, you can do that as well.
I just noticed it says connection failed.
Failed again. Oh, it's lost again? Okay.